decision. I can't make on my own. And there are trials I can't face all alone. But you said you'd walk with me down my troubled road, and you said, come unto me.
Turn to Psalms 91 if you have your Bibles. One verse of Scripture, very familiar verse of Scripture here this morning, but such a message. Psalms chapter number 91, verse number 1. I'd like to read in your hearing. I'd like for you to be patient with me this morning. I have some things I'd like to share with you and read to you. Amen. To have understanding what the Lord would have me to preach, desiring for Him to help me. This morning, I begin to think about this verse of Scripture, and I begin to think about it. Has come to me about the secret place. And before the verse ever come to me, I said, Lord, what about the secret place? And the verse come to my mind in Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'd like to preach a message this morning, dwelling in the secret place. Dwelling in the secret place. There's a lot to this message. I don't know how the Lord helped me to preach it. I just like to obey God, let the Lord help us this morning. But, amen, you're going to pray with me that God will help us. Amen, we want to receive something, church, that's going to help. You know, amen, my former pastor had a lot of wisdom. And I look so much forward to hearing him preach. Amen. I guess when I was young, I guess you might could say I had preacher religion. If he didn't want to preach, I just really want to get up and walk out. I mean, I got that bad. I mean, if he had a visit to preach somebody I didn't really want to hear, because I was just a real young man, I didn't have no sense, you know. Have no spiritual maturity about me much. Amen. That's how I looked at my pastor. He had such wisdom, and he was like a spiritual father to me. You know, when I go into his pastor study, he'd give me instruction. He'd pray with me, took time with me, shared things with me. I loved him dearly, still do today. And so praise God. So if you just pray for your pastor, I hope you don't have preacher religion this morning. Amen. Praise God, but the Lord can help us. We know who can help us this morning. I know God can give us that, and He's able to pour out His Spirit. He's able to touch every heart. He's able to meet every need. Amen. You believe that? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your blessings today, Lord. We're thankful for all that You've given to us. Lord, we pray that You'll touch every heart this morning, meet every need. God, I pray, Lord, that You'll help Thy servant to bring forth a message. It'll be a help to Your people. Lord, we desire to dwell in the secret place. We desire, Lord, to receive of Thy word this morning. Let, amen, Lord, You be a hiding place for us, a time of refuge and a time of trouble. God, we need a great anointing into the power of the Holy Ghost. We need a sweep of Thy Spirit. God, help us, Lord, this morning. We love You, God. And we know, God, our help comes from You today. Amen. We love You. Lord, we just give You praise for everything that You've done. You touch us here this morning. God, we love You. We praise You. God, we need that fresh anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost. We need You to touch us, Lord. Let us have anointed ears to hear what God's Word has to say. Lord, we need the Spirit to awaken us. We need the Spirit to move in us. Lord, that revival, amen, continue in our hearts. God, we need that this morning, Lord. I know, God, that You're able, amen, to touch us this morning. God, we love You. We praise You. We glorify We magnify Your name, Father. We love You, God. We know that we need Your help, God, this morning. Oh, praise Your holy, wonderful, sweet name. Glory be to God. And everyone that loved the Lord said, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Dwelling in the secret place. Amen. I was thinking about the preacher who shared his testimony. Said he pulled over on the interstate. He had just come out of a meeting. And therefore him and his wife was together, and they began to eat their meal. Received a phone call from his sister. And his sister said, you need to come on home. Amen. Our father had a massive heart attack. He's on life support. You need to be here. So he had to turn around and travel several hours to the hospital where he was. And therefore they went in. He looked at his father, who was a Christian man. And therefore he had the life support. And so they just started discussing what they decided to do about taking the life support off of him. Amen. That he would die. That's what their decision was. So they was all gathered by the bedside. They took the life support off of their father. And just in a short time, he passed from this life. But he said his mother was there, and she was close to her husband. Amen. They had been married for over 50 years, had many children, and therefore now the father's gone. And so one of the sisters looked to this preacher, said, now brother, will you take my mother home and look after her for a little while? She had Parkinson's disease, and she needed a close attention. Amen. This preacher said, my father was her caregiver for many, many years. Amen. He really stood by her in her time of sickness and took care of her. And so he quickly responded to his sister and said, "Sure, I'll take her home with me and do the best that I can." So he took her home. Amen. He thought within himself, "Really, can I do this? Can I take care of my mother like my father could take care of her?" Amen. I can remember how she took care of me when I was just a little boy. Amen. I loved my mother dearly. She took care of me when I was a child. And so there that night, amen, just the same night, amen, that the father had passed away, took his mother home and therefore preparing her to go to bed. Amen. So he had to prepare her for bed. And so he reached over and kissed his mama goodnight. Said, "Mama, I love you." Amen. So he walked out the door and she knew that he was gone. But he stood outside the door. He's wanting to listen for a while just to see if she'd fall off to sleep. And so he waited 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And he looked in the door. He could see that she wasn't asleep. And all of a sudden he began to hear her pray. And he began to hear these words saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." And he began to think to himself, "Here, amen, my father has passed away. And here, amen, this was her caregiver, amen, for so many years. And here she's praying unto the Lord saying, 'Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.'" And he began to share how his mother had praise for God, for all the Christian life that she had lived and knew at the time, amen, of her husband's death, that God was near unto her. She could feel his presence at the time of death. And I'm telling you, saints of God, it began to remind me that in her secret place, she had a secret place of praise unto her God. She began to worship her God in the time of grief. Just like Brother Morgan called me a few nights ago. He told me, he said, "Brother Colas, I'm not going to be able to preach for you Sunday night, but because my father just passed away, and I have to travel, I believe, to Mississippi, and I won't be able to be there Sunday night." So he said, "Please pray for me. Have others to pray for us." "Oh yes, would you call Sister Tammy and let her know what has happened?" I said, "I sure will." And I give Sister Tammy a call, and I was praying for him that God would help him in his time of grief. But I'm telling you, saints of God, I begin to think about the child of God that in that secret place of praise, how in the time of bereavement, time of grief, and time of sorrow, we can have praise unto God. If we can just be like Job, amen, "For the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. In that secret place of praise, I want to be one that can get off and praise my God, even though I may be hurting on the inside. Maybe I'm facing a trial I've never faced before, but I still want to thank my God that I'm saved. I still want to thank my God for what he has done for me, church. It doesn't matter what I may face in my Christian walk. I'm still saved. I still have the measure of grace and the measure of faith that's been given to me. I can still worship my God. I can still praise my God in the time of my sufferings, in the time of my sorrow. I want that secret place of praise, amen, unto my God. Don't you? I begin to think about the time of prayer and secret prayer and what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut thy door and pray to thy heavenly Father in secret, that thy heavenly Father may see in secret and reward thee openly." When we think about that secret prayer, we think about what Jesus gave us an example of. Amen. Once he had taught his disciples, he went off to a mountain apart to pray. Amen. He began to pray. He went into a solitary place, amen, to pray and to seek God. In church, we must have that time with God. We must have a place of prayer, a secret place, if we can just get along, amen, with God. A place where we have built an altar. A place just like with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When Jacob went back to Bethel, amen, upon the rock which stood there, amen, it represented the house of God, a place of prayer. That was, amen, where he had the dream. And we refer to Jacob's ladder. It was there where he had communed with God. It was Jacob's secret place. It was Isaac's secret place. It was a place where they had been with God. And when God gave him the dream of the angels ascending and descending upon the ladder, amen, God had a purpose. Amen, God had a plan for these men because they were men that had a secret place with God.
That's
We think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We think about the relationship they had with God. We think about the great prophets of old. We think about Samuel that was teaching about this morning. A great judge of Israel, great man of God, great prophet. Amen. His words did not fall to the ground. He could carry the message of God. He was a messenger. Amen. Elijah and Elisha were great prophets. They were men of God. The scripture refers to Elijah as the man of God. Amen. Refers to different ones speaking, amen, as to the man of God. These men of God walked with God. We think about in the New Testament about Stephen. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. That he was one that could look up into the heavens when he was being stoned. They could see Jesus on the right hand of the Father. What do you think about these men, church? I think that these men had entered into a secret place. What is that secret place, preacher? It's no more than the residence of our God. We think about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Ghost. We think about how the Holy Ghost has made His residence within us. That there's a place in God where we have our residence in Him. Being at home with Christ. Having a solitary place of prayer. Enter into the secret place of the great high God. Amen. Is that what you're desiring this morning? Amen. Listen to the words here in this song. It come to me this week when I begin to look over this message. I just want you to get a hold of these words, church. If you don't listen to what I want to, amen, preach this morning, you may miss the message. You must listen closely at what I'm sharing with you here this morning. Listen, sometimes I feel defeated, so burdened down with care. The weight upon my shoulders is too much for me to bear. If I could find a way to reach my secret place once more. Amen. My quiet time alone with God would open heaven's door. So I steal away to ask the Lord to help me make it through. In my time of weakness, my strength He will renew. Oh yes, have you ever prayed in faith as if you were alone, heartbroken in your spirit, and hope is all but gone? If you could find a way to reach the holy throne of God, your quiet time will touch His heart, and then He will respond. Just a mustard seed of faith will bring the power to receive. The answer to your prayer will come if you only believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. Trust God with your petitions. On His faith, full promise lean. If you ask in faith, believing, all your needs He will supply. In God's way, in God's will, in God's time. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. So church, amen, as I was looking over the verse of Scripture, this song I put in the CD, and I began to worship the Lord. And this song here was on that disc. Amen, praise the Lord. From the Perry sisters, they sang this song. And I began to listen closely. God had already knew I had a message to preach on the secret place. Amen, and these words come out in this song. Listen here. If I could find a way to reach my secret place once more, my quiet time alone with God would open heaven's door. So I steal away to ask the Lord to help me make it through. In my time of weakness, my strength He will renew. In God's way, in God's will, in God's time. Powerful church. Amen. So I know when I think about what Isaiah had seen in the temple, how did his train fill the temple? The glory of the Lord was in that place. I think about the dedication of Solomon's temple, how they had the prayer of dedication, and the glory of the Lord fell in that place. The power of God, the presence, the visible presence of the Lord was there, that they bowed on their faces toward the ground. They began to worship God. I'm telling you, saints of God, I think about people who has been in the secret place of God. Amen. Lord, can I ever reach the secret place? Can I ever enter into the place? I think about the priest who entered in once a year for the sin of Israel. I think about how that he prepared himself before God to enter into this place of worship, of praise. Amen. He entered in. I think about the holies of holies. I think about Christ being that new and living way. I think about Him being the great high priest. It's been passed into the heavens. There is hold fast our profession of faith. And we need to hold it without wavering, saints of God. There's a mercy seat in heaven. We know there's a great high priest, and that is Jesus. He's on the right hand of the Father. He is the intercessor. He is the great high priest.
Christ. He is the mediator. He is the advocate. He's the one that we're praying to. He's the one that we're seeking. I have a relationship. Is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you loving this morning? Are you thankful? Amen. I want to carry this a little farther this morning. Amen. Praise God. I want you to listen this closely. I want you to take this home with you. Amen. Praise God. I think about the high officials of our day. Amen. Oh, yes. If I could say this morning, I'm leaving here today. I'm going to Washington, D.C. to see President Obama. Would it be easy for me to go in his office and walk in his office to see him? Could I call on the phone and make an appointment to see my president? Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of man he seems to be. It doesn't matter what kind of disagreements I may have about his leadership. Amen. Just be in the presence of the president in his chamber, to walk in his office, to sit in his chair, and to have conversation with the man that's in leadership, the commander-in-chief. It's over all our military, the high official of our land. Amen. How would you feel to walk in? Amen. Would it make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable? How would you feel to walk into his chambers and have a conversation to be with one of the most intelligent men that's ever been in office? And that is Obama. Amen. He is. He is one of the most intelligent men I've ever heard, as far as in his leadership. Amen. He's a very smart individual. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's a very intelligent man. Amen. Could I call on the phone? Could I make an appointment to see my president? No, it wouldn't be that easy. If I walked up to the White House and I said, I want to see the man. Amen. Could I see Mr. President today? Amen. Amen. Could I go through the Homeland Security? Amen. The places where they have security above all, the White House, and the places the president may go. Amen. Does he have these armed guards that's protecting his life? Amen. Because his life is at risk. You think I can just walk in anytime I want to? Amen. Can I just do that? Saints of God, I would not be able to do that. Amen. I don't have the power to do that. My name is not more important to do that. Amen. If my president come here to Anderson, South Carolina, I might could get in the multitude. I might could stretch my hand over to other hands that want to shake his hand. Amen. I might would be able to get that close to him, but never be able to sit one-to-one and have a conversation with Mr. President. Never happen. Never happen. But could I make it happen? Is there something that I can do to make it happen? Amen. Saints of God, in our leadership in our nation. Amen. We have people that's in leadership. Oh, yes. Amen. Recently, what is it? Amen. Lindsey Graham come to play golf right up where I work. They said, did you hear that? Amen. The senator, he's coming through, one of the senators, some of the other high officials, they're coming through to play golf, you know. Amen. Some of the celebrities come in to play golf, you know. Amen. I think Oprah Winfrey, she's been up there, and Kevin Costner and some of these famous actors, they've been right through the gate where we work. Amen. Going down, amen, to the clubhouse and having their parties. Amen. People that celebrities and high officials and senators and representatives. And amen. Oh, yes. And all these people that are wealthy. Amen. You think I could go down and share with them and walk with them and talk with them, church? It'd be a likely thing that I wouldn't be able to do that. But listen, saints of God, amen, in the house of God. What is it? Amen. You have the pastor. You have lay people. We have Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Aren't you thankful that he is the head of the church this morning? Aren't you thankful, glory to God, that we can come here, we can worship God, desiring to worship him in spirit and in truth. We can take our knees before God. Amen. When Jesus was crucified, when he died, was the veil rent from the top to the bottom, that I could enter into the place of worship, and I could take my petitions and my knees before him just any time. Amen. Praise God. It wouldn't be once a year. Amen. It wouldn't going to be at the time that the priest entered in. It could be any time that I could go in and praise my God. I can pour out my heart before God. I can take my sin before God. I can take all this of things that may be hindering me in my Christian walk, like I preached about, church. Amen. We need to know that the obstacles can be removed. Where can we find this place of rest and help and hope? It's in the altar. It's in the place of God. It's in the places that we need to be in the spiritual things of God. Can you say amen? Do you love me, church? But listen to these words. This is what I want to share with you here this morning. If you can take hold of this, I believe it will bless you. Amen. Every place has its protocol, meaning codes and rules. Amen. Even regulations. Amen. Even the White House. The higher and greater the authority, the more rigid protocol. Some come to the king's front gate, are merely just one-time visitors. You know how it was sometimes in high school, they take a, or even in churches, they take a youth group to the White House. Washington, D.C., they wanted to see the White House. I'd never been to the White House, but they were just a one-time visitor in a one-time church group or school group. Amen. They went to see the White House. Amen. We know who's in the White House. Amen. The president, that's where his chamber is. But when we think about the king, the mighty king of glory, some come to the king's front gate, but they're one-time visitors. The second group might be called guests of the king. So you got visitors of the king, and you got guests of the king. Then there are the intimates, those who have made life in the king's court. Amen. Their primary focus. These select few know how to approach the king. Amen. Oh, yes. That's no more than the president. He has his officials there. He has the ones that can enter into his chambers. He has ones that's by his aid and by his side. Amen. There's a secretary of state. There's a House of Representatives. There's a Congress. There's been in positions that can go directly to the president. So when we think about the king of glory, we think about one-time visitors. We think about the guests, and we think about the intimates. These intimates are those who have made life on the king's court. Their primary focus. These select few know how to approach the king. It wasn't easy to enter the Persian king's presence under normal circumstances. As people approached the king's presence from outside the royal residence, their first obstacle was the king's gate, a gateway that, amen, it towered high overhead. It was impossible to move from outside that gate to inside the palace courts without proper credentials. And that's why these men have, they have to have proper credentials, amen, in some type of position to enter into the president's chambers. The same way here with the king. It was impossible to move from outside that gate to inside the palace courts without proper credentials. It often took a royal invitation. God's word in the Old Testament through the tabernacle, Moses, explains how to handle the presence of God and how to enter into the King of Kings. You know, when we think about Moses, do you think the children of Israel, that anyone could go up and talk to Moses? I mean, it's just like a pastor. What if I pastor 10,000 members? You think I could take time with 10,000 people? I have assistant intern pastors under me, and most of them would handle all the problems in the church. And I'd have my study and only the ones that would really have cases of hardships in life that I would talk to, because the laymen in the church, the intern pastors, would take care of what needed to be took care of. Amen. That's the way it was with Moses. Now, Aaron, he was a priest. Amen. He had Aaron with him. He had Hur with him. There was one that was on the mountain, you know, when he was in war. And when they raised up his hands, they could see the Israelites prevailed in battle because they could see that his hands was raised. But who was by his side? That was his brother Aaron, and Hur was there with him. Listen, even David the psalmist referred to this pattern. Entered to his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving can be the lowest form of worship because it is dependent on the answer to the question, what have you done for me lately? But praise, though, is not dependent on what he has done, but on who he is. You know, when I referred to the message last week of who he is, this first stage of progression in thanksgiving gets you into the property, on the premises, and under the promises. But there is still more. Then we must enter his inner courts with praise. But there are more rooms in the palace than the outer courts and the inner courts. There are also places of intimacy with God. The highest level of praise is worship. And this transports us into the holies of holies, the inner chamber, the sacred dwelling place of God's glory. So it's like this. You got some Christians that are on the outside of the courts. You have some that's on the inside courts. But you have a few that's going into the chamber where the king is. Are you getting the picture? Now listen. Worship differs from praise only in the sense that our lives and physical bodies become the praise offered to him. The only thing necessary to qualify you to praise Him is breath. But to truly know Him, that takes worship. This is where we express our love for Him by, amen, by bowing before Him. Amen, listen. Amen, Mary Magdalene. Amen, oh yes, what she do? She washed His feet. Amen, she took the tears from her eyes and the hair of her head, and she washed His feet with her tears and dried His feet with the very hairs of her head. But amen, my wife was talking, it was first beginning at the feet. Amen, that act of humility. But to get to the heart of Jesus, you've got to start at the feet. You got to start at the feet. That's humility. Listen now, church. Are you with me? We humble ourselves before Him simply because of who He is. This is our unconditional love for our Father in heaven. And this place cannot be entered unless we are clean in our hearts and our minds with pure motives, loosening the giver more than the gifts. Loving the giver more than the gifts. The protocol of the palace progresses from the front gate all the way to the inner recesses of the king's chambers. You will notice that the deeper you go into the palace, the fewer the people. The crowd thins out. We see the progression of intimacy, even in the public ministry of Jesus, to the woman with the issue of blood. Now listen. She went through the multitude, the crowd. Then those who were close to Him finally reached out and touched Him. Amen. And the power of intimate faith healed her. So we know, amen, she pressed through the crowd. It was a crowd. There was some that was outside the court. Amen. But she made herself into the inner court. She pressed her way through the crowd that she could reach out and touch Him. Why was she in the inner court, preacher? It's because Jesus turned around. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Now, Lord, there's many thrown at you." In other words, many brushing you by your side. But He said, "Somebody touched me because I felt virtue go out of me." Amen. What did Jesus feel? He could feel her faith. He could feel that she had a heart, a need in her life. And he reached out and touched her. And she was healed of that, amen, of that disease, that issue of blood that she had for 12 years. It was her faith. But she made her way through the crowd. You see, some Christians, they don't try to prevail in prayer. They stay outside the courts. They want to be in the crowd. They want to come to the church. They want to be faithful to their church. They even pay their tithes and offers, but they stay outside the court. They never press their way through that intimacy with Christ. They never make it way. Amen. When revival comes, they're blessed. They may be refreshed in the Holy Ghost, but before you know it, they're on the outside the courts. Why? Because they're drowning in their unbelief. Why, preacher? Because they don't see their need. Amen. To have victory and live a victorious life. They always seem to be defeated Christians, and they're on the outside of the court. Always on the outside. Amen. Oh, yes. It's like my uncle used to sing the song, "I'd rather be on the inside looking out than on the outside looking in." Amen. You got Christians on the outside of the court. They stay on the outside. At one time they thought they had a desire to draw close to God, but they have a little bit more love for other things. It may even be their husband. It may be their wife. It may be their children that's coming before them. It may be their job. It may be their home. It may be their bank account. It could be numerous of things. Something that they want to hold on to. Something they love more than they love God. So they're Christians. They're faithful three times a week. Amen. They get up, they sing in the choir. They sing, "I love Jesus." And there are Christians, but they're on the outside court. So I guess we can measure up our own selves this morning. Only you can do that. Only I can do that. Amen. Are we Christians? Are we on the outside? Amen. Let's move over to the inside court. The inside court is the ones no more than the woman that had the issue of blood 12 years. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. The inside of the court is no more than blind Bartimaeus. When he began to beg, amen. He was by the highway side begging that I may receive my sight. And Jesus come by and touched and healed him. And he was made whole. But the scripture says no more about this blind man. It was just like the 10 lepers. Amen. Oh, yes. Who? Amen. It was full of leprosy. And they were cleansed and healed in what Jesus gave them word to do. They were cleansed from their leprosy. But only one came back to give him thanks and praise unto God. That one was going into the inner court. He was heading toward the king's chamber. Amen. Amen. That's why it's just a few. It's amen. That's why it's just a few. You have many examples through the scriptures of ones who were touched by Jesus, but they turned around and went on their own way. Amen. The scripture says no more about them. But some it does. Amen. We go down to Mary Magdalene, one I've already spoke about. Amen. Oh yes, she washed his feet. She was given to the heart of Jesus. He touched her. He delivered her from these demon spirits. But why was she the first one that went to the tomb? Amen. She was entering through the chambers. And there, amen, where the stone was rolled away. She was the first one there, praise God. It's because she was going from the inner court into the chambers. Amen. She was going to, she'd already had that intimacy. She was going with Jesus where he was. And therefore, she did not know, amen, when the gardeners had said unto him, for he is not here, for he is risen. Amen. Where is my Lord? He was the one that brought the alabaster box of the spices, the ointments, amen, of the perfumes for his body and his burial. It was the one that was Mary Magdalene. She was the one that was set free. She was the one at the feet of Jesus. She was the one who humbled herself. But she was going from the outside court. Now she was going to the inside court. And she was going to the tomb, the place where they had laid him. She was the first one there. Amen. When she received news about Jesus being risen from the dead, she went to the disciples, amen, to give them word that Jesus had risen. She was the one that went back and gave them word. Amen. Peter and John went to the sepulchre, the tomb. Amen. Oh yes, Peter and John was others. It was going to the chambers. When I look at that tomb, I think of no more. That's where Jesus, that's where they had laid his body. Even though he come out of the tomb, he was not in that tomb. But you think about Mary Magdalene, you think about Peter, you think about John the Beloved. Amen. He's the one that leaned on the breast of Jesus. He had a great love for the Master. Amen. Praise God. He was the revelator. He was the one that received that vision. Amen. That vision from God. Amen. John the Revelator. He had seen things in the Spirit. It's because he knew what it was to go into the King's chamber. Amen. Glory to God. He had entered to a place. Amen. We had seen all the revelation of God. It was John the Beloved, John the Revelator. The Apostle Paul was another man. He was another man we know had the Damascus Road experience. But it went farther than that because he had seen a revelation of the third heaven. He had seen things that man had never seen before. That was the Apostle Paul because he had been into the King's chamber. I think about saints. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, praise be to God, the outer courts. Amen. Are you on the outside looking in? You desire to be into the inner court, but only few is going to where the King is. When you're into the King's chamber, there he is. Amen. You're sitting there from all instruction. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for instruction. It's the man of God who obeys. It's the man of God who yields. It's the man of God who's been in the chamber. It's the man of God who's sensitive. It's the man of God who's been along. He's been in the chambers. He knows what it is to have intimacy with Christ Jesus.
He's been into the chamber.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Hallelujah. You've got all kind of categories of Christians. We can label them carnal. We can label them spiritual. We can label them wise. We can label them foolish. We can label them worldly. Or we can label them compromised. Amen. Saints of God, many Christians can fall in many categories. But I say this morning, are you outside the courts? Saying, preacher, I know I don't testify. I hardly ever testify anymore. I hardly ever pray when you give an altar call. I either come in late or leave early. You know, well, you're on the outside the court. That's where you are. Come on, be honest with yourself. You're on the outside court. You say, well, preacher, I try to come in 3 services a week. I try to pray. But why are you being overcome? Why don't you have any victory? Amen. The Christian who's happy in his journey. A Christian who's got praise. A Christian who has worship. A Christian that when he's called on, he sings. A Christian when he calls on, he testifies. A Christian that has the joy of the Lord. But the joy of the Lord is his strength. He knows what it is to be in the inner courts.
Come on, preach.
He's in the inner courts.
Come on, preach.
He's one a little farther. He's dedicated himself. He's offered his body as a living sacrifice. Holiness at the one of God, which is his reasonable service. He knows what it is to be alone with God. He knows what it is to be on an altar.
for the Christians on the outside court. Man, that's right. It troubles me because something's always robbing them of what God desires to give them. And who is the thief? Who is the robber? Oh yes, that's Satan himself. He's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You either listen closely or you're not getting a hold of this message. I don't know about you, but amen, my wife shared it to me. I've shared it, or at least to us two's getting it. Amen, I don't know about you, saints. But saints of God, listen. Amen, my ears is open. Amen, I'm going to label myself outside. Amen, what did I first say to you here? Come on, label yourself. Are you a one-time visitor? Are you a guest of the King? Are your intimates? What are they now, preacher? The one-time visitors come to the King's front gate, but that's as far as they go. Hey, oh yes, the guests of the second group, amen, they come and, amen, they're the guests of the King. The King still has his chambers, but these are his guests. These are the ones that's obedient. They enter into the intercourse. They sit into the Spirit. They hear the Spirit's call. Amen. They're obedient to the heavenly vision. They're going into the intercourse. Here comes the intimates. Frankie! Come on! He hears the still small voice. He's in an intercourse. Amen. He's happy in his journey. He preaches the glorious gospel. Amen. But when that still small voice comes to the man of God who obeys, amen, he gets along with God and he begins to shed tears. Amen. He begins to weep his way through. He takes a stand against the adversary. When the adversary begins the war, he rebukes him and puts him in his place. He don't come to, amen, church with a sad countenance. He don't come, amen, with no victory. He comes with worship. He comes with praise. He comes because he knew the only time that I can ever know my Father is, amen, once you enter into the chambers. What is that chambers, preacher? Amen, the chambers.
Come on, preach.
Amen. The chambers is the Christian who has entered in.
That's right.
And shut the door. And there's no disturbances. There's no obstacles. There's no hindrances. Why? Because he's in the presence of the King.
Yes, amen.
Once you're in the... I feel this. I say, once you're in the presence of the King, amen, there ain't enough demons in hell. You hear me this morning? There's not enough demons in hell can oppress you. There's not enough demons in hell can rob you. There's not enough forces in hell can stop you. Because you're right there in the chambers. You're right there with the King. He's looking you in the eye. He sees right where you are. And he knows who you are. He knows where you've been.
Come on.
Then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And the King says, "Who's there?" And that's those guests that come into the inner courts. He keeps hearing all the knocking. But every once in a while somebody opens the door and walks in and closes it behind him. There he is, one on one. But there's a great guest out there, multitudes of people on the inner court. He's a more greater multitude on the outside court. Amen. But there's a lesser multitude on the inside. Now these are people that are happy. These are people who have a testimony. These are people in their inner courts. Hey, but every once in a while, amen, that knock begins to get a little louder, and it gets a little louder. And Jesus said, Matthew 7:7, "Ask ye shall receive, seek ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened." But why, preacher? You got to keep knocking.
That's right. Come on.
If you're going to get into the King's chamber, that's the only way. You got to keep knocking.
That's right.
And when you get weary, he said, "Don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, don't be weary." Jesus said, amen, to pray and not to faint. Amen, for the man that keeps knocking and he won't give up. It's like the woman who came before the judge. Her continued, the widow woman continued, her wearying him. Wearying him. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Don't let anybody turn you aside. Don't let the forces of hell oppress you. Amen. Keep knocking. And all of a sudden, when you keep knocking, that door just opens. Quickly rush in. Shut it behind you. And there you are in the presence of the King. He says, "Son, come on over here. Come on. Come on over here." Takes the other chair. He pulls it around. Here we are, face to face. trembling under his presence. I have a fear for God. He looks at me and says, son, you're now in my chamber. We are in true intimacy now. This is where the place I've been trying to lead you for 20 years. This is the place where I desire to pour out my anointing upon you. This is the place where I desire to give to you. This is, he says, son, look at me. Don't look down. Look at me when I'm speaking to you. Look at me when I'm speaking to you. And I begin to keep trying to keep my focus. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm trying my best to keep my focus. Amen. Just like when Peter walked on the water. Now here comes the chambers. Amen. It's just like I feel like I'm walking on water. Amen. I'm right in the presence of the king. I mean, I'm talking about the high official. I'm talking about the real commander in chief. I'm talking about, amen, the great Jehovah God. I'm talking about one who should really command. One who should be in control of all the universe. You may not be in the chamber with the king. Amen. You say, well, hey, Lord, I don't deserve what you give me. I don't deserve to preach. I failed you so many times. Amen. He says, son, look at me when I'm talking to you. Oh, look at me when I'm speaking to you. Don't you hear that still small voice? I've been calling you. I've been leading you. I've been directing you in my righteousness. I've been sheltering you with my love. I've been drawing you by my spirit. And now I have blessed you to come into my chambers. And this is where, no more than Eli the priest, he began to give instruction to Samuel. This is where I will begin to instruct you. This is where I begin to lead your ministry. This is where I will open the door. This is where there will be a new vision. This is where there will be a new beginning. This is where I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is, amen, this is for you. This is for you. Now turn around. And I'm hearing all kind of knocks on the doors. And I turn and I say, now Lord, what about my children? What about my companion? What about my mother? What about my father? What about my brother? What about my sister? In God's way, in God's will. What you've got to do is focus what I've called you to do. This is where you focus, that you're in my chamber, speaking to you, speaking to others that's on the outside, inner courts. They'll have their time. But you, this is for you. This is now. This is now. This is the last day. This is the outpouring, church. This is revival. We need a stirring. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Listen, church. This is where we need to be. Amen. Dwelling in the secret place. That secret place is his residence. That secret place is the throne room. He said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This is the throne. This is the holies of holies. This is where you enter into the priest's chamber, king's chamber, the king's courts, king's chamber. This is true intimacy. This is time with God. So if we was to measure up ourselves, church, only you can do that, I say this morning. Be honest with yourself. Are you on the outer court? Are we talking about Christians here now? We're not talking about lukewarm people. We're not talking about backslider. We're talking about Christian people. Are you on the outside court? Are you on the inside court? Are you going in the direction of the king's chamber? King's chamber is for the man who has opened up his heart. He has given himself over to the Spirit. Amen. He yields to God. He believes God. He stands on his promises. Amen. He has got such a focus. Amen. On the higher things of God, like with David. Do you think, amen, and under David's command, anyone at any time could go speak to the king? Amen. No. Could you make an appointment to speak to the king at times? There was no appointments. Amen. You had to be in a certain position to go to the king's chambers. You had to have some kind of, amen, oh yes, position, I say, to go into the king's chambers. Listen, saints of God, God desires for us, amen, to be in the intimate place. Amen. It seemed like people for so many years never reached that place of intimacy. Something's always robbing them. Something's always hindering them. You say, preacher, why is it that way? You know how it is at times. Amen. When we pray for sick ones, they don't never seem to be established. They're up and down. They're in and out. And how's that make God feel? He's saying, now, I've saved you. I give you a job. I give you a family. You got money in your pocket. You got shoes on your feet. You got clothes on your back. And you got a roof over your head. I blessed you with my power and my spirit. I have showered you with blessings. God wants us all to go into the inner courts. We got to move and make that step from the outside to the inside. We got to get on the inside court. For those that are on the outside, they're so capable of turning back. Because of their weaknesses, they turn back. And because of their discouragement, they're turning back. They don't have a love for Jesus. It keeps them, amen, turning back. Because that love is not genuine like it should be. That motivation in their heart is not driving them like it should be. You've got to get on the inner courts. Once you're in the inner courts, you have walls around you. If you're on the outside, you're in the open. But once you're on the inside, at least you made a step where there's walls about you. It was just like it was with Job. When Satan came to him, it was a hedge it was built about. Amen. In other words, Satan was no more saying, I can't get to Job. In other words, God was saying, I'm going to lift the hedge. Amen. I'm going to place Job on the outside court now. Amen. Oh yes, he's not going to take his life. He struck him down with boils all over his body. And all the things that happened with Job, we know what had happened. Amen. But Job hadn't. He knew what it was to be in the inner courts. He knew what it was, amen, to enter in, saints. That's the way it is. We got to have a devotion to Christ that we know what he is. Amen. Do you know how it feels to be a child of the King? Do you know how it feels, amen, to pray and really pray through? Do you know what it is to be broken before God? Do you really know? He said, he's nearer those with a broken heart than save such of a contrite spirit. He is nearer to those that are broken. The ones in the inner courts, they are broken. They have just fully starting to surrender to God. And they're coming in. And they're saying, God, use me. Don't refuse me. There's no work that I can do.
Oh, yeah.
The ones on the outer courts, they could really care less. They think within themselves, amen. Some people just momentarily, Christians, they want to pop in and pop out. Pop in and they'll get up and initiate something, and really their heart's not in it. Really it's not. Amen. I must be one that knows what it is to be in the inner courts. I must be one. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's label it like this. The ones on the outside of courts maybe are some of the new converts that recently got saved. Amen. They've heard the gospel. They've heard friends testify what it is. They don't know what's in the inner courts. After a period of time, God reveals. They start, amen, all of a sudden, amen, they rush into the inner courts. Amen. The Lord sanctifies them and baptizes them with the Holy Ghost. And then they're in the inner courts. And then they have to sit down for a while and receive from God. Amen. Before they know what it is to go back to the chambers. I remember when the Lord first called me to preach, I didn't step out quickly and start preaching. As far as pastoring a church, I sat under my pastor for 3 long years before I stepped out on my own ministry. I've been preaching for 3 years. I began to sit under him for 3 more years before I ever stepped out on my own. If I'd been one just to quick to step out, most likely I wouldn't have stood. When I first started preaching in 1988, I was helping a church in Tuckasegee, North Carolina. I was preaching up there. And in those mountain churches, hard for them to keep a pastor because they have to drive so far. I was driving close to 60 miles one way to preach there. I go on Sunday morning, I preach. And here was this man in his church. They probably had around 20 people or so. And I just started preaching. I had been preaching for about a month. And they come to me and said, please take the church. Please pastor this church. And I even got up testifying in my church about how they wanted me to come. But see, I didn't have no learning. I wasn't in such a leadership position that I felt like I could lead a flock and try to help somebody just been preaching for 3 or 4 weeks. Amen. I was young in the Lord in my preaching ministry. Just starting out. And they just want me to take a church. So I wasn't able to take that church. I didn't take that church. But I helped them out for a while. Till they could get somebody else. But you see why, amen, a lot of times man wants you to put you in their will. But we must be in the center of God's will. That's what men will do. Amen. They want you to, amen, do what they want you to do at the time that they need it. And that's why we must pray for the leadership. Amen. Of the Spirit Church. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm telling you, after years have passed by, amen, I begin to think what God has done for me. I begin to think the souls that's been saved. I begin to think about the people that's received the Holy Ghost. I think about ones that's been touched in the ministry. It's been a glorious journey. It's been a wonderful time of fellowship. A wonderful hearts. And the Lord's helping me, church, to get into the name, into the chambers. It says, but I find myself going back to the inner courts. And he's saying, if you want to go ahead and stand still, you stand still. But if you want to move forward in your ministry, you've got to get back to where you used to be. You've got to go back to the chambers. You've got to go back to where I am. Amen.
Yes.
I find myself drifting back to the inner court. Still preaching the gospel. Still trying to help somebody. God's saying, you have to get back into the chambers. Now the vision, the people will perish.
That's right.
In the times of Samuel, there was no vision, no open vision. Said the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Amen. But here God was raising up a man, a child to be a man, who was Samuel. He was called of God. This is what I shared with my Sunday school this morning. I want you to think about this, and I'm coming to a close. Here you had Eli the priest, a great man in his position. He was going to give instruction to Samuel. He was going to raise him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And when the Lord began to call him, Eli come to recognize it was God calling him. That's why he said on the third time, say, speak for thy servant here. And what was the words? It was given to Samuel. Here it was Eli, not Samuel, but Eli. Here it was Eli going to raise up Samuel to give him instruction, help him. And here was the word of God. It was coming to Eli about his own house, about him not restraining his sons, about bringing judgment on his own house, upon his own children. Against Eli, because he would not restrain them. Amen, Lord, yes. If every ear is going to, amen, tingle to hear my words. And what, amen, judgment was going to fall upon Eli's house because he would not restrain his sons and the terrible acts that was going on in the house of God.
Right.
Terrible, sinful acts. Here it is, he was for Samuel. Here he was going to teach him. And here was God giving a word to Samuel that was against Eli. Cause of what he was doing. Think about that, Jeff. Here it was, just a young child, and God passed his word through that little boy to give to Eli. It's amazing to me. Amen. Come to a child. You know what the scripture read there? Amen. Praise God in the scripture lesson this morning. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope it's been two or three got a hold of this message. I knew it was going to be different. I knew it would take me some time to get through it. Amen. Praise God. I had a lot to share. Amen. Praise God this morning. But it said the dwelling in the secret place. Okay. He said he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadows of the Almighty. Abiding in the shadows of the Almighty, that's no more than his protection. We are under his protection. But he that dwelleth in the secret place is he that goes to the king's chambers. David went to the king's chambers. He fell back to the inner court. He ended up on the outside court. Then he got out altogether. Thanks be to God, God restored him. He got back to the inner court. He got back to the chambers because he gave his position back to him. God gave David's position back to him. He judged Israel for well over 20 years at the time of his death. And he charged his own Solomon in the words of God, the words that he gave to him on his deathbed about following the ways of the Lord he had followed, because he went back to the king's chamber. David was a man after God's own heart. That don't just have to be for David.
That's right.
I can be a man after God's own heart. Mary Magdalene was after the heart of Jesus. She had to start at his feet to get to his heart. First one to the tomb. You think about these things, church. Me. What was it? The fool? The first one in it. And when the angel come down in trouble, the first one in, receive what they needed. Man, praise God. It's up to us what we want. We can limit ourselves and we can stay at a certain level and never have no spiritual growth. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh yes, I've seen Christians even pray through the Holy Ghost and think that's just a stopping place. I've had, you know, this is what they test about me all my life. Now I got the Holy Ghost, I'll just sit down. They'll just sit down, just the beginning. God's given the power to equip them to do a work. That's why the man of God needs to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost to even preach the gospel.
Yes, that's right.
We've got to have the preacher in us to preach. Amen. Praise God. We got to have the teacher in us to teach. Amen. Glory to God. That's the great power of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for what we have this morning. Let us all stand here this morning.
Yes.
Amen, church. I guess in one way, this message can be personal. It can be personal between you and God. You say, God, I feel like I'm on the outside.
outside court. Lord, I feel like I'm on the inner court, but Lord, help me to know what it is to get into the king's chamber. You say, Lord, I may be a one-time visitor. I may be a guest of the king, or I may be one of those intimates. Lord, just help me to know I've got to have some spiritual growth. I've got to have something to stir my heart. Oh, praise God, I've got to have a stirring. I've got to have a spiritual awakening. Church, that's what we need, is a spiritual awakening to get from the outside to the inside. Amen, glory to God. What did I say? I'd rather be on the inside looking out than on the outside looking in.
Amen.
How about you? The ones that we have come on around, let's have a season of prayer around these altars. Let's pray about this message, church. Amen. Dwell in the secret places. Dwell in the king's chambers. Amen. Knowing what it is to have fellowship with God. Knowing what it is to have intimacy with the king. Knowing what it is to feel, amen, to have instruction of God. This is where we need to be. Just keep praying. Just keep seeking. Let the Lord move you. Let the Lord stir your heart. Amen. Praise God. Let the Lord help you if you can receive what you need. Let revival be in your soul. Let the Lord pour into your life that you can be what you need to be in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.